Hey guys, welcome to the Chisa Pod. I am your host, Deepika Naidu. Our current reigning Miss SA, Shidu Fadzo Musida, has taken Mzansi by storm with her bold beauty and effortless grace. However, Shidu's last few weeks online have reminded us that the haters are gonna hate. This week, we are chatting with Miss SA about her latest initiatives in her reign, mental health, and cyberbullying.
Yes, Mzansi Salaville is filled with flavor.
But you know that ge o batla go tseba gore fame e re mongwaneng, or who secured the latest bag,
or just who's dripping with sauce,
and who's adding the spice.
Jonga yonke into nje.
Because if it's hot, then it's definitely in the Chisa Pod.
When did you realize that you wanted to focus on mental health during your reign? Is it personal in any way?
I believe mental health should be personal to everyone. Because just looking at the stats alone, the stats are quite alarming, where 1 in 3 people are expected to suffer from mental health in their lifetime. And suicide is the leading cause of death for youth aged 15 to 29. So when I realized those stats, I was just really, really alarmed at how it is such a disregarded issue in our society. And it reminded me of a time when I was in matric and the stress of exams got to me, like it made me really anxious. But at that time, you're expected to be strong. You're expected to just take it to be okay instead of someone telling you that, listen, it's okay to not be okay. And if you need help, it's okay to get some.
What does the hashtag Mindful Mondays program entail?
Mindful Mondays is essentially a conversations around mental health with experts and different people, different perspectives in different communities, whereby we discuss mental health, the language that we're supposed to use as a means to educate and inform how we as a society view mental health and to stigmatize it essentially. So it's just about bringing the conversation forward so people can actually have a safe space to come in and say, hey, I'm not okay. Hey, I didn't know about this. Hey, I'd like to know about this. Hey, where do I get help? So it's also going to be an informative, primarily going to be an informative show with partners like SADC and 702 that will help us with their necessary resources, direct people to the right channels who need help. So yeah, that's basically Mindful Mondays, to speak about mental health and educate, to destigmatize it, or in an effort to destigmatize it rather.
Why mindfulness? What was your thought process behind the program?
To be mindful is to be aware. But in this case, it's to be self-aware, in my opinion. So when on the final night of Miss South Africa, they asked me if I had to start a movement, what would I call it? I'd call it the mindful movement, because that requires a lot of awareness of self and awareness of others, where as the WHO, the World Health Organization describes it, health is not just physical, but it's mental too, the complete health of all those facets. And when I thought about the mindful movement, or mindful in general, I thought it's going to be a space where people can have the right or the safe space to be self-aware, to speak about their emotions, to be mindful of their emotions, to be mindful of all the processes that are happening around them and in them as well. So that was the whole point of mindful for me.
A few weeks ago, you were bullied online for your bikini snaps. How did you feel about waking up to the backlash?
It was disappointing, but I didn't really feel much other than that. I was just really disappointed at people in general, you know, the negativity that was there. Maybe I just always look at the goodness of humanity. But after that, I just decided to just switch it off and just ignore it, because I don't really respond to negativity. So, yeah, I try to not take anything personally. So that's how I live my life in general. It was disappointing, but at the same time, I couldn't really let it get to me.
As a woman, did you feel like the backlash came from a place of discrimination?
I wouldn't call it discrimination per se. I would call it maybe discrimination, but I'm not sure where they were coming from. But from my view, it was just such a disappointing time, because it was feeding into so many other conversations where when I went online at some stage, I saw people making a comparison to gender-based violence. And I was just like, how do we get to that point where it basically goes back to the conversation of when a woman is assaulted or a woman is abused, they ask what she was wearing, you know, that type of thing. So what should what I wear like describe or define me? Do you understand? So it was just a thing of, it was disappointing to say the least. But discrimination it may be, but I don't want to look too much into it because yeah, it was just a disappointing time, just not for my feelings, but just to see how backward we are.
You've mentioned that you experienced bullying growing up. Could you tell us more about that?
I experienced bullying from age 9 until age 14, mostly due to tribalism, maybe just my vulnerability because I was new at the school and I could hardly speak a word of English, a word of the languages that they predominantly speak, the Dengoni languages. I'm a proud Muvenda, I'm a proud Venda girl. So when I got there, I was super confident, like nothing should change, but it was not like that. It was just a whole lot of bullying until I was in grade 8. But thankfully I overcame it when I realized that it should not be personal. Obviously, it feels personal, but when people bully you, it's just a reflection of who they are. It's not a reflection of who you are or what you need to fix. You can get dressed up, you can do all these things, but then if it's a reflection of who they are, what you do will not matter in the end. So I overcame it. It really did shape me quite a bit. The effects of bullying actually stay with you for the rest of your life, but you just learn to live with them and overcome them daily. It's a daily struggle. But I'm just happy that I wouldn't trade it for the world, and if I'm being honest, because I think I'm sitting where I am today speaking about issues that I'm speaking about today, or I am as bold as I am today because of it. If it wasn't for it, I don't think I would be more cognizant of the issues surrounding mental health and the issues surrounding children in general.
One of your other initiatives focuses on food insecurity. What drew you to this particular cause?
I grew up in a environment where food was very scarce, where actually one of our next door neighbor by my grandfather's house hardly had any food, so she would eat at our house. But even at our house, the food that we had, you knew to appreciate it because it's what they have and what they could find or what they could afford. So for me, food insecurity has been such a close issue to my heart because it leads or feeds into so many other facets that if you look in depth, are there, such as I'm very passionate about economic and educational empowerment of women and children. But then how do we educate a child on an empty stomach? How are they expected to work at their best on an empty stomach? So it starts with something like that, that actually feeds into other stuff like economic empowerment. So food security is quite important for me because I believe every single human being, it's a basic need, should have food.
After visiting farms in Cape Town that help in the fight against food insecurity, what lessons did you learn from your experiences?
I was very humbled to learn that you don't even have to have much in order to make a difference in your community and in the world at large. I met Nan Victoria, and she started Masijongwe's Children's Home to feed children. She gives them breakfast and lunch. And also above that, she also feeds adults too. They come there with their lunch boxes in order to be fed. But mind you, Mum Victoria is unemployed. She doesn't have a lot of resources. What she uses is her grant money in order to feed all these people. So for me, it was quite a humbling experience to see that you can do a lot with the little that you have. And if you're dedicated enough, you can make a huge change in your community and the world at large too. I think it taught me how, most of us complain about how, oh, we don't have enough money to change the world or to make a difference. So rather we not try. I saw a woman that tries and succeeds every single day to feed those children, and it was such a beautiful experience. And also visiting the farms and just meeting the farm owners and see their contribution to making sure that places like Masijongwe have food was quite a humbling experience.